Ephesians chapter 6, we will be reading this morning from verse 17, the second half of the verse. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we continue our worship now under your word, we ask that your Spirit, the one who brought this word to us in this form, would now accompany it with power, that he would work among us by this word, Lord, to convict us of sin, to lead us to Jesus Christ, to kindle faith afresh, Father, to edify and sanctify us here this morning. Father, we are wholly dependent upon you and your word and your spirit in this time. And so we ask for your work, and we ask it for our joy and your glory. Amen. Well, if you're joining us this morning, we've been spending time in the book of Ephesians, and we've been spending a number of weeks, particularly in this passage here, on spiritual warfare. And Paul's reminded us in this passage that we are indeed, every single human being, in a battle, a spiritual battle, a battle that's not ultimately against flesh and blood, but a battle against Satan and all of his spiritual forces. And we see from the book of Ephesians that all those whose faith is not in Jesus Christ are following this prince of the power of the air. They're following the prince of darkness. They are under the dominion of this evil one. And all those who have trusted in Jesus, who've been made alive by the Spirit of God and the gospel, have been brought out from that kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And now, as those who belong to God, who are in Christ Jesus, have the assaults, the attacks, the schemes of the devil angled against them. And Paul has called us in this passage to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and to stand in this battle, to stand firm against all the schemes and assaults of the evil one, Satan, the devil. And we are to stand, we see here, by putting on and taking up that which is provided for us in Jesus Christ, in the good news of the gospel, of his person and work. And this morning, we come to that particular piece of armor that we've been given. We come to the sword. And there's something about swords, isn't there? You set up some armor in a room, and you send in the boys, and though they will be excited and delighted by everything they see, I'm willing to bet probably 10 times out of 10, the first thing that they will go to is the sword. And if we're honest, most of the men in here would act the same way. We want to pick up the sword. We want to see the sword. And the reactions aren't the same for everyone. See, the moms, observing the situation as the six-year-old runs for the sword, they have an entirely different reaction. But it's still a strong reaction. Swords draw out from us powerful emotions. There's something about a sword. And Paul here brings us to the sword. We've seen that God has provided in Jesus Christ armor to protect us against every conceivable assault against the evil one. And we've seen that he's given us particular pieces, that in this metaphor of the armor, Paul's trying to illustrate for us, he's demonstrating for us that there are different aspects to the work of God in Christ on our behalf, that in order to stand firm, we must take up, we must appropriate, we must use. And there's only one piece that he's given us that serves not only for a defense, but also for an offense. We've seen that the intention of the armor is that we would stand firm. That we would stand firm. And so the armor that's given is defensive. But there is one piece that's given that defends and also attacks. And that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I just want to do two things this morning with our time together. One, we want to spend time looking at what kind of sword have we been given. And then the second thing we want to look at is areas in which we are called to wield that sword. So what kind of sword have we been given? You'd want to know if you are called to a battle and someone's going to provide for you a weapon, you'd want to know a few things about that, wouldn't you? My sons have all kinds of swords, foam swords, plastic swords, wooden swords, sticks that they call swords. But if I gave you one of those things and sent you off into battle, I'm willing to bet your confidence level would be fairly low. Right? They're glorious in the imaginative world of fighting dragons and knights running around in the bush for 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 9-year-olds and maybe 14-year-olds. But in a real battle, you're going to want to know what this thing is made of. If I give you a sword that's made of aluminum, you're going to want to know about that beforehand because that's just not going to cut it in the battle. And so what kind of sword has the Lord himself given to his people for the spiritual battle in which we are engaged? Well, we read here in this verse that he's given us a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What does it mean that he's given us the sword of the Spirit? The sword that we've been given is this Word. And this Word comes from the Spirit of God himself. It comes from the third person of the Trinity. The Almighty God of the universe has given us this Word. What kind of a sword have we been given? We've been given a sword from the very mouth of God himself. We read in 2 Timothy that this word is God-breathed. It's breathed out by God. In 2 Peter, we read this, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing. Going to pay attention to this word, knowing, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. This book that we have here, this inscripturated Word of God, the sword of the Spirit that's put into our hands, is no mere word of men. This is no mere collection of men's reflections upon who God might be. It's no mere word of people. It's no merely human word, though it does come to us through human authors. No, this is a divine word. The same scripture says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but as men spoke from God, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." In this battle, your confidence comes from the fact that the sword that you've been given is nothing less than the true, the infallible, the inspired, the inerrant word of Almighty God. Every word here is given to you for this battle in such a way that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can have full and sure confidence in their sword. This sword shines brightly with truth. Proverbs 35 says, "Every word of God proves true." Every word of God proves true. That is the sword that you've been given. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, says the psalmist in Psalm 19. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The sword that you've been given in your battle against Satan comes from none other than the Spirit of God. And because it comes from the Spirit of God, you know without a doubt that every word here is true. No word here will fail. No word here will lead you astray. And brothers and sisters, the battle that we've been talking about, the enemy that we've been looking at as we see the defensive given us, if our enemy is fundamentally a liar and a deceiver, what precious reality it is to know that the sword that we have been given cannot lead us astray. The sword that we have been given cannot contain errors. The sword that we have been given is true. It is pure. It is right. It is good. And therefore it is sufficient. Sufficient to wield against all of the errors that might come from the evil one. All of the deceptions that we might face in the world. The word of God is not just true, but by virtue of being from his Spirit, it is also powerful and exalted. It's powerful and exalted. Psalm 138 verse 2 says this, "I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word." Your name and your word. Brothers and sisters and friends here this morning, your relationship to the Word of God is a demonstration of your relationship to the person of God. God has so united himself to his words that to distrust his words is to distrust him, and to trust his words is to trust him. He has exalted above all things his name and his word, but he's also put power in his word. We've seen in Proverbs 30 that every word of the Lord proves true. We read in the scriptures again and again in the New Testament the power that is placed in the gospel, which is the center of this entire book. Right, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe." The power of God. What kind of sword do you have? You have a sword that is absolutely and perfectly true, that cannot lead you into error, that's been exalted and been given power. The power of its author, God himself. This is the sword that's been given to us. This is the sword that transforms. We hear Jesus praying in John, "Sanctify your people by your truth. Your word is truth." this sword is the means by which God conforms his people to the image of his Son, moment by moment, day by day, increasingly, step by step. This is a powerful and a precious word. We see its sufficiency in 2 Timothy. Sufficiency to both bring salvation and sanctification. 2 Timothy, beginning in verse 14, "As for you," he's talking to Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And here's the key, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit that we've been given, is a sufficient sword. Sufficient for the completeness of the Christian. Sufficient for the whole of the Christian life. Every word from God that is needed by the believer to come to saving faith and to walk all the way to glory is contained in this book. Every single word, brothers and sisters, that you need from your conversion to your glorification in the new heavens and the new earth is contained right here. The sword is not missing a piece. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not a sword that is loose at the handle. It's not a sword that has lost its sharpness. It is a perfect sword, and it is a sufficient sword. So, brothers and sisters, may your confidence in the weapon that you've been given be kindled afresh this morning as you consider the nature of the sword, the nature of the weapon that you have been given in the fight. So we turn now. We've seen what kind of sword God has given us. We turn now to the areas in which we are called to wield the sword. The sword has been given to us that we might wield it in the battle. It's not been given to us that we might hang it on the wall or display it. For a while we had swords displayed in the cabinet in the back. That was nice, but that's not the purpose for which God has given this sword. He's given us the sword because he has told us that we are in a battle. And he's told us that we are in a battle that we must fight. And he's told us that when we take the armor that he's given us and we wield the weapons that he has provided for us, we will stand. We will be victorious against the enemy, Satan himself. And so, brothers and sisters, the first thing we need to note is the reality that we cannot wield what we do not possess. We cannot take up that which we have not gripped a hold of. And so the first reality the first step in wielding the sword against the enemies of our souls is to remind us of the necessity of the intake of the Word. We cannot wield what we do not possess. If we do not know the sword that we have been given, we cannot fight the battle that we have been placed in. And so we must be growing consistently in our knowledge of and use of this sword. And so we must take advantage of all the means that God has graciously given us so that we might grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and also that we might grow in the use of that sword in the battle. A master swordsman will practice for hundreds or thousands of hours to develop their reflexes, their familiarity with the sword itself and with all the different ways in which they can use it, to rehearse again and again and again those techniques that they're going to be using in the battle. And the sword of the Spirit is much the same. We've been given a weapon, and we've been given the Holy Spirit of God, that this weapon might be transforming our lives and that we might have power to use it in our war against the evil one. But we must take it up. We must receive it. We must train in this sword. If we have no knowledge of what is contained in this word, we cannot wield a single part of it against the enemy of our souls. We saw wonderfully as Colton opened up the word to us from Matthew chapter 4, we see the way in which our Savior, in a unique and glorious way, wielded the word against the evil one, defeating him once and for all. Where Adam failed in the garden to wield the sword he'd been given and fumbled it up and fell, where Israel failed to wield the word of God that they had been given, Jesus Christ, the new Adam, the new Israel, wield it successfully in the wilderness and defeated the evil one. But even Jesus could not wield that which he did not have. He knew the Word of God. He had taken up that sword since childhood and learned what it said and what it meant and how to use it. He was ready for the battle. So, brothers and sisters, we must pursue piece by piece, step by step, an increasing knowledge of this sword that we might be able to wield it in the battle. We must pick it up and read it in the morning, in the evening. We must give attention when it's opened up to us in the Sunday morning worship, in Sunday school. As we speak together as brothers and sisters, we must take in the word so that we have it ready when we need it to fight. So let's just look at a couple of ways that we're called now to wield the word of God as believers. The one area that we're not going to spend much time on this morning is the area of wielding the word in our private battles against the evil one. It's illustrated for us in the text that Colton opened up for us a number of weeks ago. As the evil one brings to us, whether through an individual or just to our mind, errors, falsehoods about who God is, about what God asks of us in the world, we wield the word privately in responding with his sure and true words. We are equipped for every error right here in this book. But I want to look at a couple of other areas where we're called to wield this sword. Remember, this is the only offensive weapon. Where do we lay an attack against the evil one? We lay attack against the evil one by the word of God. And so we must wield the word, first of all, in our homes. We must wield the word of God in our homes. Because what God does is he brings into our homes, whether they're visitors, whether they're guests, whether they're children, all kinds of people, some of whom are under the power of the prince of this world, the kingdom of darkness. That's every child that comes into your home initially. Many of your visitors or friends or family members. And he's only given us one weapon that can bring them out of that darkness into the light. He's only given us one weapon that can assault and wound the evil one, and it's the Word of God. And so we must wield the Word in our home. So I just have three things here. Give them the Word, your children. Give your children the Word. You need to give them the Word before they ever are trusting in the Word personally. You need to give them the Word before the Holy Spirit has come and brought new life by virtue of that Word, because that is the means by which God does that work. They will encounter in the world any myriad number of untruths concerning who God is and who they are. And there's only one means given to you by which you might counter those things, and that is this Word. Tell them from when they are young who they are, who God is. And remember to give them the center of this Word. Right? The Pharisees and scribes were chastised because they knew the Word and yet they missed the point. You search the Scriptures for in them, you think that you have life, and yet they testify to me. So brothers and sisters, give your kids Jesus and the gospel in your home. Wield the Word there. Secondly, we wield the Word for each other. We've just welcomed three new people into the body here at Cornerstone, into this expression. And we are told that the means by which they will grow up into maturity in Jesus Christ, the means by which they will persevere in their faith is, as it says right here in Ephesians, through the spoken Word of God in love. Speaking the truth in love, they will grow up into Him. Wield the Word for others. Wield the Word in the body. God has ordained that your brothers and sisters will persevere, will make it to glory by you wielding the Word on their behalf. That is the way that He has designed it. And if our greatest need is that our faith would be real, that our faith would be strengthened, that our faith would grow, if faith is the only means by which we receive all that God is for us in Jesus Christ, then we ought to wield that sword by which faith comes. Is that not what Paul says in Romans chapter 10? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to see faith grow in your brothers and sisters, or if you want to see faith kindled in someone who has none of it, the only means God has given us by which that will happen is the sword of the Spirit. It is the Word of God. So, brothers and sisters, wield the Word for them. And finally, wield the Word for the world. Wield the Word for the world. Paul tells us that believers are those who've been called out of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. And he tells believers that the only means by which others might be transferred from that kingdom of darkness under the just and right and good condemnation of God for all of their sins before His glory and holiness is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of the gospel. There is no other means that God has given for that to happen. Without the wielding of the sword of the Spirit against the kingdom of darkness, with the Word that is effective, it is the power of God unto salvation. It is that which brings about new life when accompanied by the power of the Spirit. That is the only sword that we have been given. That is the only means. And if we don't wield it for the world will remain lost. That is the means that God has given. So brothers and sisters, fully armed, taking up all the armor of God, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the readiness given by the gospel of peace for our feet, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and now the sword of the Spirit, let us stand firm and happily plunder that kingdom on behalf of the King of Glory. The sword that he has given us is sufficient for the task, and the task will not be accomplished any other way. So in light of all those things, my final exhortation is this. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God, would you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, would you make it your resolve to become a master swordsman? God knows that you don't come into the kingdom, that you don't step up out of the waters of baptism with a lifetime of knowledge of the word and wielding it against the schemes of the evil one. But he intends that you would pursue for a lifetime, whatever that lifetime is, that same knowledge. You don't get to be a master swordsman without the time and practice and patience, all the fumbling and stumbling, all the little steps. So let us resolve to take those steps beginning today, that we might be ready for the battle and fight it faithfully all the way to glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the sword that you have given us is glorious. To have the very words of God, the very words of good news, the very words of salvation. Father, would you make us faithful in wielding that word in our homes, in the body, and for the world. For your glory we pray. Amen.